One of the questions that I ask the confirmands is, what is holiness? And the answer that I'm expecting from them, of course, is being like God and being different from the world. That's what it means to be holy. But being different from the world is always going to cause problems for us. Following Jesus does not make our lives any easier. And our reading from the book of Hebrews still calls for us to walk with him, even despite that difficulty, whatever the cost may be, because we have been made into something new in him. Now, our reading from the book of Hebrews comes at the very end of the book. And if you've read the book of Hebrews, you'll know that it is one long argument. It's a long argument showing how Jesus is superior to all that came before him, showing how he is greater than all that was before. The high priest of the Old Testament, for example, offered up every year a sacrifice for his own sins first, but also for the sins of the people. But Jesus, as the greater high priest, offered up one sacrifice for all sin of all time, and therefore Jesus is greater. The earthly tabernacle was a shadow of things that were to come. But Jesus, being greater, entered through the heavenly tabernacle so that we now have access to the Father by his blood. So in that way also, he is something greater. And the whole book of Hebrews is one long argument to prove this point. And we're coming in at the very end of it. And just like you probably know from experience how difficult it can be to jump into a conversation that has been going on for a long time, it's very difficult for us to jump in here. But we can still do it if we remember that basic point, that Jesus is greater than all that went before. And because he is greater, Christians, Hebrews shows us that for that reason, the old has now passed away. Things like the tabernacle, things like animal sacrifices have come to an end in him. There's no more need to do these things now that the greater has come. Because why would we still hold on to what is old, Christians, if we have what is new? If we replace something, do we still keep using the thing that we've replaced? Or if something old has fulfilled its purpose, do we keep using it as if it hadn't? So these things are now gone because of Jesus. There's no more need for these earthly things like animal sacrifices, because now we have Christ. But think about what that would have meant for the first generation of Christians. Think about how hard that would have been for them. Because they grew up with these things. That was all that they ever knew. As far back as they can remember, this is just what they did. They went to the temple. They offered up animal sacrifices. But now that Christ had come, they had to stop doing these things. They had to give them up because they were now fulfilled. And it would be difficult enough for them to give it up for themselves. But think about how that affected the relationships that they had to people around them. How much that would strain those relationships, because now they had to do something different. Imagine how difficult it would be to tell your father, I can't go to the temple anymore because I'm a Christian. Or to tell a friend of yours, no, I can't offer up a sacrifice with you because I'm a Christian. And it wasn't just their family either. It was their whole society. Because all of society in that day, pagans included, offered up animal sacrifices. It was as common for them as doing our daily chores. It was just part of what you did during the day. And you can imagine them asking, what kind of people don't offer them? The wrong kind of people. That's who. Somebody who's trying to cause problems. Somebody who doesn't really care about others. Somebody who wants the gods to be angry. Somebody who wants to tear down all that is good and right and true in this world. They are renegades, troublemakers, bad citizens. That's the kind of people who don't offer up these sacrifices. That's the kind of people that these Christians are. So being a Christian then automatically made things weird. At best, people would look at them funny. But more commonly, they made their lives difficult because of it. Refusing to go along with the world made things hard. Now, of course, we probably find this somewhat difficult to understand. I mean, after all, we don't have sacrifices. We live in a time where nobody offers sacrifices. In fact, if people did offer animal sacrifices, we would think that they were the weird ones. It's totally outside our experience. And yet, being thought strange for following after Christ, that's still something that we know very well. Because the world doesn't mind a lukewarm Christian. The world doesn't mind if you just are like everyone else. Inoffensive, quiet, not all that different from the world, not taking Jesus too seriously. The world can tolerate that kind of Christian. But when being a Christian means that you have to say no, when the rest of the world says yes, suddenly they start to cringe. What if, for example, I'm not comfortable going to an event, a community event, a dance, whatever it may be, because I know what kind of things happen there and I'm a Christian. I don't want to participate. Well, don't be a prude. Loosen up. You don't want to be thought weird, do you? Or what if I say I can't come to practice, or I can't come to the game because I have church? What are you, some kind of fanatic? Do you want a place on the team? Because you better be here if you do. What if I say I need to give up something? Social media, YouTube, whatever it may be, because I feel that it's not good for my soul. I feel like it's something that I can't do without problems. Do you think you're better than me? Are you some kind of Puritan, some kind of holier-than-thou person? Don't be weird. Don't be cringe. Don't be different. Go along with the rest of the world. Ridicule like this, Christians, is hard to bear. Some people are even terrified at just the thought of being laughed at. There was a preacher from a couple hundred years ago who put it very well when he said, thousands would never hesitate a moment to storm a breach or face a lion who dare not face the laughter of relatives, neighbors, and friends. But being a Christian means that you will be laughed at. Being a follower of Christ means you will be ridiculed. Truly being in Jesus means you're going to bear the reproach of the world, whether you like it or not. They will force you out of the camp. They will force you out of the city, force you out to be among the outcasts, the rejects, the strange. You will be excluded from the things of this world if you truly follow after Christ. But Christians, so was Jesus. We hear in verse 12, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. And being outside the gate is not just where the cross happened to be. The cross was outside the gates of Jerusalem because that was the exclusion from the city. Jesus was pushed out. He suffered outside the city because he was different from the world. He was treated as if he was the very worst of all, as if he was the cause of all of these problems, even though he had done nothing wrong. And Jesus was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was laughed at as he hung on that cross. But through his blood, Christians, we have become like him. We have been made one with him through his suffering. But because we are one with him, we are also one with him in his righteousness and his glory. Why then should we fear the ridicule of the world? What do we have to endure that Jesus did not endure for us? Even though we have to leave behind this earthly city, we have a far greater one in him. And Christians, more than this, you also do not go alone. You are not the only one who bears the ridicule and the mockery of the world, but rather we have been joined together as one in him, one in Christ, one in suffering with him. I mean, after all, it does not say, here you have no lasting city, but here we have no lasting city. If we are beaten down by the world, we find strength not only in God, but also in one another, bearing all things with patience, knowing that he is leading us together as one to glory. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do what God would have you do, no matter what the cost may be. Even if the world mocks you for it, even if it laughs at you, leave behind this earthly city. Bear the reproach of this world for the sake of Christ, and walk in his way in all things. Be different from the world. Be like God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before you endured the cross, despising its shame, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, give us the strength to endure the mockery which you endured, and to take up the cross, knowing that you will bring us through it to the everlasting city above. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.